Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a Monday. Zach Johnson, in a playoff, has won the Open Championship. Jordan Spieth gave it a good run. But like Arnold Palmer 50 years ago, when Palmer was on his quest for the first three majors, Palmer missed by a shot, Jordan Spieth missed by a shot. Spieth beat Mark Leishman and Louis Oosthuizen in the playoff to win his second major championship to go with his Masters. We're also going to have today, in a golf realm, Todd Graves from the Graves Golf Academy. Going to be on talking about that, about the swing. Kevin, you are to listen intently.
I was just thinking, can I make sure that I'm not that I'm focused exactly on everything that's being said here, and maybe get a couple of tips?
It's a little bit different. It's the Mo Norman method, and we'll talk about that in the next half hour with Todd. And we also, believe it or not, and this will probably shock you no end. Oh, look, yeah, there's your email. Hold on a second.
Brother.
Actually, the last one I was going to bring up anyway. The Open Hamels trade update. Dodgers, Rangers, Red Sox, Cubs, Orioles, Scott Hamels. Who could they offer that the Phillies in return? It doesn't really.
Well, I think it matters.
Give them anything. It's fine. Gary Pinkel, Missouri Notre Dame. And what?
Gary
Pinkel.
Yeah, from Missouri. Was talking at the SEC news conferences about the championships. The NCAA championship, and said independence, and then mentioned Notre Dame, should not be involved. I thought that was interesting.
No, he's wrong about that. You have the best record, you have the best record. Notre Dame does not play a lousy schedule. I mean, they have a mix of good teams and mediocre teams like anybody else.
I think the only and I'm not agreeing with him, by the way. I'm with you on this, but his... I think the point he was making is it should be a situation where you need to be in a championship game. He said all the major five should have a championship game.
Well, he's right about that. And again, Notre Dame gets a free pass on the whole, you know, the whole deal. I understand that. But I would put Notre Dame in the exact same category. Like, Notre Dame should be allowed in the four-team playoff. If, for example, there's one undefeated team, Notre Dame's the second undefeated team, and then you've got others involved that have, I mean there's a window of opportunity for them. But if you're talking about equal records, if you're discussing equal records, I'm going to be consistent about this the way I was back in December about this. If you don't play a championship game, you are penalized for it in my voting process. And the reason that they should be penalized for it is, why do you ask others to clear hurdles, an extra hurdle, and not have these others? And I said that about TCU and about Baylor. Alabama got in, and Alabama won the SEC title game. Florida State had to beat Georgia Tech. Oregon had to beat Arizona. And Ohio State had to beat Wisconsin. Now, why should Alabama, Oregon, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, and Florida State. Why should they have to clear one extra hurdle while Baylor and TCU get to sit at home and watch it? That's the same thing with Notre Dame. Why should they get a free pass in? Now, there's a circumstance that allows them to get in, as far as I'm concerned. If you're the only undefeated team, Notre Dame's the only undefeated team, they should be in. But if you're dealing with teams with equal records, and all these, except for Florida State, had one loss on their record this year, when you're dealing with equal records, that championship game, to me, has tremendous meaning to it. Because that's the extra hurdle. And in a championship game, you are not facing a lousy team. You're facing a good team. Sage Karam, first podium at Iowa, and, of course, Kevin. Kevin, scratch that one off the list.
Actually, we are working.
That is a level of irrelevance that is unbelievable.
Well, we are working with Ganassi Racing to have him on the program this week.
That's great. We love that. That's be fine. When he's on the show, we'll deal with it, but it's, you know.
That was on there for my benefit. I wanted to hear you read that.
Yes, and the word irrelevant was then used. USA Baseball Silver Pan Am Games. Why isn't baseball in the Olympics?
It does have a shot to come back for 2020.
Softball is in the Olympics because we're too good at it. That's the reason.
That's the reason they ditched softball. Yeah. I agree with that. Baseball is much more competitive.
Not sure why. It's not in the Olympic Games. Redskins offering season ticket holders injury updates before the media. Why don't they offer their season ticket holders discounts?
That's a good question.
And I'm not kidding about that. If you're a season ticket, look, let's go back 10 years. Let's go back to 2005. In 2005, there's not a single sports entity anywhere. College football, college basketball, NBA, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball, PGA Tour. There isn't one of them that thought they would have the TV contracts they have today. None of them. The TV contracts they have today are off the charts. And I sit back and let's take the Redskins, for example. If you buy an 8-game season ticket package to go to FedEx Field, now I'm not a businessman here, but at the same time, I am awash in cash from my team store, my television contract, my radio contract, and I'm already selling season tickets. Those two preseason games plus parking should be free. If you're a season ticket holder.
I definitely think parking should be free if you're a season ticket holder. That's a simple thing you could do for your season ticket holders.
Well, I mean, during the season, you got to pay for parking. I'm talking about the preseason games. I mean, you should have to pay for your parking space. I mean, and parking spaces have a value to it. How close am I? How far away am I? So forth. But for preseason games, a season ticket holder should have free parking in their space and should have free entry into the game. Why? That's our thank you because you bought the other 8 games. Now, that's just me outside looking in. Don't have the numbers in front of me, but, okay, I've got a TV contract that 10 years ago, I never dreamed I'd have. Never. All of these entities, okay, even the NHL TV contract, they never dreamed they would have. Now, obviously, this always figures into salary caps and things like that. That's how they figure it in. But there should be no need to raise ticket prices anywhere today because of television. Shouldn't be. The goal is to get people in. Okay, why do you need to raise ticket prices when you just got a television increase that you never dreamed you would have gotten 10, 15, 20 years ago? They're making money now from television that is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. I know expenses are greater than ever and so forth, but you need people in seats. As for telling them about injuries before the media,
to me, that's only beneficial if you're a fantasy football player, quite honestly.
Yeah, and you have HIPAA laws, too. You have to have it cleared, too, by the player. That's also part of it, too. If the player doesn't want the injury disclosed, they can't disclose it. Can't. Not allowed. And then last, I was actually going to, and we'll revisit all these topics as the afternoon goes along.
Oh, good.
Last on the Kevin one was actually one I was going to bring up. Yes,
wow.
I was going to bring this up.
All right, but before you say it, everybody, make sure that if you are driving right now, you just be very careful or pull off to the side of the road so you don't be surprised and cause an accident. Go ahead.
The IndyCar series has gained momentum on NBCSN. Their numbers are higher than ever. In fact, the Milwaukee race drew more viewers than the Big East basketball championship game on Fox. That part you didn't know.
No, that part I didn't know.
No. The Big East championship game on Fox Sports 1 drew 489,000 viewers. The Milwaukee race on NBC Sportsnet drew 532,000 viewers. It is 66% higher than last year's race. Second straight IndyCar event that has showed a huge gain over the year before. And the race on June 27th saw an 80% jump from the year before. The 12 IndyCar Series races are way up over 14 and way up over 13. They have three more IndyCar races, including the series finale in Sonoma. One of them is at Pocono. It should finish with its highest rating ever. And there are still 3 years to go in the current 10-year deal with NBC Sportsnet. But they're up 25% from 2014, the IndyCar ratings. They're up 34% from 2013. And you're shocked.
I'm shocked you're willing to concede it.
Not willing to concede. I think it's great.
Listen, I know I'm biased. And I'm the first to when it comes to this. But have you watched the racing in this series? At 200 miles an hour, these guys are closer without touching each other than any other form of auto racing right now. They're going 4 wide, 5 wide at 200 plus miles an hour and literally inches apart for 3/4 of a lap.
Right.
And I think, and I honestly believe that's what people are starting to see in an era where racing interest has gone down. There's actually some serious, clean, fast racing going on in this series.
Yeah, I watched the Fontana race, the one that ended under yellow.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. There was no word about bumper-to-bumper racing there. Is that yellow flags waving around? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now. The summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing. Zero security deposit. Zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax after leasing and low APR financing through KMF to well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Zach Johnson winning the Open Championship. Todd Graves coming up next half hour from Graves Golf Academy. We'll be talking with him about the single plane golf swing. Kevin, I want you to listen closely.
Wait, the single, what's it called again?
Single plane golf swing.
Single plane golf swing.
Yep.
Okay.
And take a good long listen to what he has to say about it. Talks about the swing being done in two ways, in two parts, and this takes it in one part and takes it through. And what it does is it's supposed to create accuracy. In other words, when you hit the ball, it leaves the tee, and like when it goes down the center of the fairway, the entire track is down the center of the fairway. It doesn't start out over Selins Grove and then come back down. You ever seen that done before?
Not sure.
Not sure?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well. But we'll to be talking about that. With the British Open, thought it'd be a fun thing. And then working on Jack Ham later in the week. So it's been a big... the Big Ten Media Day is coming up next week. Media days. I had to vote today on my five players in each division. I could have voted for 20 in the East. Oh well, I got it down to five though.
Was there a science to doing that, or did you just kind of put them all in a hat and drew them out?
No, I just looked at all the names and picked out five on each side and moved on.
So you researched all their statistics as well? And
does it take a genius to look at Joey Bosa and say, I think he's one of the top five players in the East?
Probably not.
No.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. How'd you find out why? They always seem to get the right insurance for the best price over and over again. Purdy Insurance. You want an insurance agent that you can trust and know that they have your best interest at heart. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has been driving Sunbury Motors vehicles.
And this week we're featuring a test drive vehicle. We talked a couple of weeks ago about the Kia Optima Hybrid, the LX sedan. Well, now we have a 2015 available, and it has about $6,000 off the sticker right now. And they only have a couple of these at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They also have a 2014 Kia Optima Hybrid for $21,357. That's $7,000 off. You don't have to do anything special to qualify except walk in the door and tell them you're interested in one of the test drive Kia Optima Hybrids. They have a couple of them from 2015, one from 2014. It will have a 120-month, 100,000-mile warranty on the hybrid electrical system, plus the regular 60-month and the 60,000-mile warranty as well on the bumper-to-bumper. Of course, the warranties that you've come to expect from Kia as well. And all the comfort of the Kia Optima. If you haven't driven a Kia Optima, it is a mid-size sedan that has plenty of room in the back seat and just drives so smooth. And the switch between hybrid and gas, you won't even know it's done until you look down and you see the little EV light on in the dash. And the best part is, looking at 35 miles to the gallon minimum. Check it out. Sunbury Motors, the Kia dealership, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Save $6,000 to $7,000 off now.
All right. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. All right. Golf game. Said to myself, I need to line up somebody. That will not only help my game, but really help Kevin's game. Because Kevin will put the ball in the fairway, but it's not what you would call a straight drive. It is one that takes a trip. MapQuest is needed.
It has its own GPS.
Yes, it does. So Mo Norman was a great Canadian professional golfer. Tried his hand at times, a couple little spots on the PGA Tour, didn't quite work out. But he had 55 wins in Canada as a professional and an amateur. And way back, Tiger Woods was talking about the swing. And Sam Snead said, Mo Norman has as beautiful a swing as anybody had ever seen in his life. Tiger Woods said that the only two guys that he ever saw that owned their own swing, where they owned it, were Ben Hogan and Mo Norman. We bring in Todd Graves from Graves Golf Academy. He learned from this, and Todd, certainly it's something along the way that that you picked up and now you teach as well.
Well, he was, Mo was a pretty introverted, reclusive guy. Some people claim he may have had a high-functioning autism. He might have had that social disorder. But he basically had a close group of friends, and he spent his time basically in his circles of friends, and became known as one of the greatest golfers and ball strikers in Canadian golf. And he played for short stints on the PGA Tour, but mostly his just introverted, reclusive personality kept him from really being a guy that a lot of people got to know. And he just had a really close circle of friends, and the other guys that knew him were the PGA Tour players and the guys in the world of golf that actually seen him play or played with them that said how great a ball striker he was.
Yeah, he had one time, I guess he was doing something instructional, and he hit 1,000 balls or something like that, and they all landed within 15 yards of each other. I mean, all of them.
He had 1,500 drives in the fairway in 8 hours.
Yeah.
And.
Okay, what did he teach that you now teach?
Well, I think the best way to describe it is we call it the single plane golf swing.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, when I describe this, when people can hear me talk about this, I try to describe it in a very simple way. But most golfers out there and your listeners have probably learned golf, and they probably do something in their swings that they don't even know they really do. They hang their arms straight down, and that's kind of what conventional golf teaches. It just hang your arms down below the shoulders, get comfortable, and hit the golf ball from there. Well, we consider that two planes because your arms are hanging down on one plane and then the club shaft is on another plane. You have an angle there between the arms and the club shaft. And then when you swing, the club, when it gets to impact, it tries to line up with the arms. The natural moving golf club tries to line up with the arms. So you start on two planes and you impact on one. And this just creates a complication in the golf swing. What Mo figured out was if you just basically line the club up with the arms into a single line, we call the single plane line, mm-hmm. it makes it much easier to get back to that moment of impact. And Mo figured this out intuitively without any instruction at all. He figured this out from being who he was and being going out in the range and hitting lots of golf balls and just figuring out on his own. And he developed a single plane golf swing, which we have now proven through biomechanics and studying it that it's the easiest way to get the job done.
What did it take for you to learn it, to break that habit and get into a single plane?
Yeah, I love that question because it's so similar to what I see my students go through now. I played professional golf. I played on the Asian Tour in 1991. I traveled around the world trying to figure out, you know, number one, how to make money at the game, and number two, how do I improve and become as good as some of the players I was playing against. And I started working with some of the best instructors in the world in the early 90s, and by 1994, I gave up the game. I was just tired of it. I couldn't take it. It was too complicated, and I hadn't gotten any better. And a friend of mine came to me with a videotape of Mo, put it on my desk, and said, "You've got to see this guy hit a golf ball." And I had heard of Mo Norman before. I'd obviously never met him prior to this videotape. Mm-hmm. And I plugged it in my VCR, and I saw this amazing golf swing. What really, really amazed me even more was the gallery of people watching Mo hit balls were the guys that I was competing against, all the pros that I had played against my entire college career and some of my professional career, all these guys watching Mo. And I said, if these guys are watching Mo hit balls, he's really got to be good. And that kind of inspired me to go meet him, get to know him, and learn, you know, how he figured out an easier way to strike a golf ball.
Right. It's one thing to figure out how to strike the golf ball, which you just talked about, and, of course, that would then lead its way to approach. Okay, what about work around the greens? Is this a principle that works around the greens?
Yeah, well, I mean, simplifying the golf swing, and you got to have a short game. You know, there's three basic skills you need to play the game of golf: long game, power game, short game, and then you got to be a good putter.
Right.
And Mo was probably not regarded as a great putter. But I tell you what, one of the things that I think was overlooked in Mo's game was his wedge game. I hit tons of wedge shots with Mo, and it just makes it easier to hit wedge shots as well. And putting is one of those things where the ball's on the ground and it's rolling.
Right.
And I always tell people that if you're a great ball striker, you're always going to get deemed at an average putter because
right.
your ball's close, you have more opportunities on the green, and you're going to miss more putts that other guys are making at the same time. So if you're hitting more greens regulation, your stats go down from your putting statistics standpoint. So when I played golf with Mo, I thought he was a fabulous putter, and I never saw any problems with his putting. But then again, I didn't know Mo in his competitive career when it actually meant something. So.
Sure. Is this a little wider stance with this? Did Mo have a little wider stance, and do you recommend a wider stance?
I do. The principles of Mo's swing are a little wider stance because you're trying to build stability out of the lower body. So the key is, what Mo figured out was stabilize the lower body and then move the upper body to produce speed. So you're basically building this framework with your lower body. You're minimizing rotation of the pelvis. You're keeping the spine in its simple tilt. You're not moving the spine around very much, and it's making that moment of impact much easier to get to. And that's what he really figured out was widen the stance, stabilize lower body, and use the upper body for speed.
Hey, as everyone goes through this and you teach, you also adapt and your own personality enters into it. You can talk about the basics of what Mo does, but what have you adapted that you also know from your personal experience that then goes in conjunction with this swing?
Well, I think that for me personally, but when I teach, when I'm coaching people, I learn from coaching people. So I always tell my students, I learn as much from them as they learn from me. So every individual comes to me with different issues and different challenges in their understanding of the golf swing or what they've practiced. You got to realize that the people that come to my golf schools aren't beginners. These guys have been playing golf for 20, 25 years. I rarely get a beginner at my school. So these guys have a lot of history. So what I always try to do is just simplify it for them. And that's what it really, for me, and it's amazing to me that you got to learn the fundamentals stuff that keep it simple. You got to get the lower body in its position. You got to get the spine tilt correct. And for me, what I key on is that address position. You've got to get the address position solid and comfortable so that you can repeat getting to impact. To me, I stress to my students, let's get this address position perfect, because that's a lot of the battle of making a good movement from there is getting good, solid mechanics at address.
And because you're dealing with people who have been around the golf course for a while, they develop habits. What is, to you, the toughest habit to break in your experience of working with experienced golfers?
Lower body movement.
Lower body
movement? Lower body movement. How the lower body is moving. And so one of the things that I've done, and one of the things that excites me about teaching this, and I've been teaching this now since, when I met Mel in the early 90s, but, you know, I started my academy in 2000, and I do research. So I dive myself into how can I help people more? What can I learn from doctors and kinesiologists and physicists? I'm diving into more of that angle because I really want to be more helpful. I've been teaching the same thing, by the way, for 15 years, but my approach changes because I find more helpful ways to help people get certain things. And one of the discoveries and things that I've really paid a lot of attention to is the positioning of the spine at address, because your pelvis moves your spine. So if your spine is out of position at the very beginning, when you make a rotation of the pelvis, your spine's going to be incorrectly moved. So, and what's on top of the spine are your shoulders, and what's attached to the shoulders, your arms. So you can see this chain of events occur when people don't move their lower body correctly. So that has to be the biggest thing is, number one, get the address position perfect. Number two, proper pelvis rotation to keep the spine in position. That would be the second most important thing.
As you follow up with people that have been to your academy that you have talked with, have you, have they continued to have success with it? That's one. And number two, has there been a lessening? Have you found out from them a lessening of back issues because of what you just talked about?
Well, number one is the back issue really is a big deal because when I ask my students how many people have back issues here, and I'll have them raise their hands, and our schools have between 15 and 20 people in our golf schools. Half of the group at some point in their golf careers have had back issues.
Right.
And you'd be surprised at how many people have back issues. So that's a big deal. And we spend a lot of time, you know, how we move into our lead knee, and our lead knee is actually flexed at impact, which takes the pressure off the back. So it stabilizes versus a straight lead leg, which conventional golf teaches. So we are helping people save their back. And as far as people continuing their progress, what's great about it is a golf school, in a three-day golf school, we get people the fundamental stuff. If they go practice the fundamentals, usually it takes 2 or 3 months. And, you know, to be honest with you, I want to give people 6 months of just working on correct fundamentals to get improvement. And I've been known to ban people from playing golf because what inhibits people from improving, and the listeners need to take you know, some notes on this, is they run to the golf course right away and they want to start playing with a tip.
Right.
Well, that's not how you learn. I mean, what you do is you take a fundamental and you practice it repeatedly until you get it, and then you can go out there and play with it once you get it, but it takes some time. People don't give themselves enough time to learn. So when we want to give people time, it usually takes 2 to 6 months of practicing, and then they go play, and they're always getting better. It's saving their backs, and it's also helping them get a lot more consistent.
Yeah, amazingly, obviously Tiger Woods is at the age of 39 has had obviously a nightmarish year on the golf course. Jack Nicklaus had at the age of 39 a nightmarish year on the golf course, and what he did was he then really stepped away for 3 months. You just talked about not running out right away. And when he went back and talked to his instructor, he said, look, let's go right back to it. Let's start with the grip. That's what Nicklaus said, let's start with the grip. For you, is that what you do? You say, let's start with the grip, then let's get to all the fundamentals of the swing. You take through each part of it?
Absolutely. You have to start at the beginning because, you know, if you have a bad address position, it makes it very difficult to make a good backswing. You can't just start at the top of the backswing and try to fix it. It's a chain of events. So you must, you start at the grip, you start at address position, you start at the first movement in the backswing, then you work on the backswing, and you work on the transition into the downswing. But what I have found, you know, it seems complicated, but what I have found is that when you start getting fixed, you know, let's say it's 10 things you got to worry about, you fix 1 and 2, 3 and 4 much easier, 5 and 6 get easier. So it works its way through. So yes, you have to start at the very, very beginning, just the fundamental stuff, and go right from there.
The old saying, 14 clubs in the bag, one swing. Is this the kind of swing that takes you right to the green?
That's the best part. You know, the number one search term in golf, when you talk about internet marketing and looking at what people are doing on the internet trying to get better at golf, is consistency. That's the number one thing. So people, you know, distance is number two. So people are looking for consistency, and obviously hit it further. And one of the things that's great about Moe's swing is just helps you become more consistent. A square club face, solid contact at impact, nice straight golf shots, that's going to help you play your best golf. And then obviously hitting at decent distances when you hit it solid. So those are the things that this golf swing offers. Our niche really is to help people get more consistent.
This actually started out, you know, as the Grace Golf Academy, and you operate schools now in several different locations. Have you been, I mean, I know it's something, it's a principle you believe in, but are even you surprised as to how much it's taken off and it's been able to expand the way it has?
Well, I think, yeah, I have been a little bit. I'll tell you what surprised me the most was, you know, golf kind of in a downturn in 2008
right.
economically. And we didn't really see that in our business, and mostly because, you know, the guys that we're teaching are guys who are veterans who have played the game for years who are trying to find an easier way, and that seems that segment of the market hasn't decreased. So, you know, it's like the key people entering the game have decreased possibly, but the guys that we're teaching haven't really. Actually, that number is growing because you have the baby boomer population, you know, playing the game. So it's, you know, that's the kind of, so we've been surprised with that, I would say, and the growth of that. But then again, I know how difficult golf is. I mean, it's a difficult game. I mean, you know, so it's like I have job security, I guess. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's difficult. All right. It's difficult. And I love playing it, but it's, you know, but there's something you talk about, like distance off the tee. It's amazing that distance off the tee becomes negated when you're constantly in the fairway. I think that's what this comes down to. It's just the accuracy of it that makes it for a total game that allows your entire game to improve because you're accurate with it.
Right. Yeah, in golf is both. You know, you got to have some distance and you got to have accuracy. But I tell you, if you don't have accuracy, I always tell people the best club in your bag is your driver. If you're hitting your driver well, golf's pretty fun. But if you're hitting your driver poorly, it doesn't matter how far it goes. If you're in the woods every single time,
yeah,
or you're in the hazards, golf's a really difficult game. So, you know, getting that ball in the fairway, adequate distances, and making the game, hitting more greens, and giving yourself a chance out there, that's what makes the game fun.
What's rewarding for you now in this, now that you've gone through the life experience of doing this and teaching it, what's rewarding for you out of this?
Well, you know, I like that question. It's a good question because, you know, I run a business now. We have instructors all over the United States. You know, we do produce a lot of instructional products and things. And I tell you, I still get a kick out of teaching people hands-on. And probably because, you know, I'm a good ball striker. I don't work on my swing very much, so I don't have the aspirations to do anything myself. When I see other people with aspirations to improve, and I watch these guys get better, and they have fun with it. There's nothing more fun for me than watching somebody else have fun playing the game of golf because I want the game to – I think it's a great game, and I think it's just a lot of fun for me to see other people enjoying it.
One final question. We watched – I don't care what tour we watch. I just covered the U.S. Women's Open, the Web.com tour. Obviously, the pros are at the Open Championship right now. Are you surprised over the years that more haven't adopted this kind of single-plane approach?
I think it's just such a lack of understanding. I'll tell you what I see. You know, golf has never leaned towards science when it comes to the golf swing. And I've seen it lean in that direction a little bit now.
Yeah.
There's some guys out there doing a lot of research on the golf swing. And I think it's going to be revealing, you know, because we've done a lot of biomechanical studies just recently on the single plane swing versus the conventional swing. And until golf leans a little more towards the scientific side, we won't see probably a lot of guys with a single plane swing on the tour, but I think you'll start seeing guys understand it better. And once people understand it better, it'll be adopted more. I just think it hasn't had the evidence behind it that people want to try it. And then conventional golf is taught hanging the arms down. So as long as that's being taught, right. in the world of almost 90% of all instruction is hang the arm straight down. You're just going to see two planes out there. So it's kind of, we're kind of going against all that. I call myself the underground of golf instruction because we're trying to just show people the scientific evidence of a simpler way, and the people who adopt it love it. And so that's kind of our core group is those guys that pick it up and just, you know, buy into it, and here we go. They have a lot of fun.
Well, let's face it, across the board in sports, analytics are being used more and more and more across the board. So, Todd, it was an absolute pleasure on my part. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks a lot for doing this. I think people got a lot out of it.
I thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, Kevin, what did you get out of it?
That I need to change my swing because I'm willing to try anything at this point.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.